The speech was called The Man in the Arena. It was given in 1910 by Theodore Roosevelt because of what he saw in the culture around him. What he saw is he saw people that were apathetic and that were all just critical, but there was no one really in the arena using their life to make a difference. And I want to read you an excerpt from that speech one more time this weekend because I think we need this today even more than the people did back then. Here's what Theodore Roosevelt wrote. Oh, this is good. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who has actually said out loud, in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error or shortcoming. But who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Does that fire anybody else up when you hear that? It's like, does anybody else feel like we need a call like that to Christians in our world today? Like, that's what this series is really all about, because so many of us as Christians, it is so easy to just get apathetic, to get critical. I mean, we become cynics versus us having sweat coming down our brow. We're covered in dust, even tears, because we are in the arena making a difference with our life. I need this series because honestly, there are times in my life that I have been on the sidelines in my faith versus serving and making a difference with my life. It's just true. If you've been here before, I've told you a little bit about some of my Bible college days. When I was in Bible college, I shudder sometimes thinking about what I did. What I did is all I did in Bible college for years is I just sat and consumed. That's it. I wasn't out making a difference. In fact, I was just cynical and pointing out all the things I saw wrong around me instead of me getting in the arena. What was I? I was lukewarm. And if you came last weekend, you know the title of the message was No More Lukewarm Christianity. And if you're back today because you took a challenge that you don't want to be lukewarm, I just want to commend you today. I want to say, man, great job being back here. Stick with that commitment. But today, I'm going to turn the heat up even more. Are you okay with that? Like, just because when you come to CCV, you know we're a high challenge church, not because there's any judgment. We want to be grace and love, but you know that you oftentimes need to be challenged in your life. Otherwise, you'll never make a difference with your life. And we want to change our world. So, man, it could get a little hot in here, not like it's already hot outside in Arizona, but you ready to be challenged? Here is the big idea today, if you're taking notes. In the church, God did not design you to be a spiritual consumer, but a spiritual contributor. Why? Because the church doesn't exist for us. We are the church, and we exist to go serve others. So let me ask right up front. Are you more of a consumer or a contributor when it comes to the church? Now, I'm not going to let you off the hook. I'm going to ask you to grade yourself, all right? And again, this is just between you and God, and just be honest. You're only as good as you are honest. I want to give you a scale, all right, and a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, 10 would be you're just really, really consuming. 0 is consuming. 10 is like you're contributing. Like, that's what you want to do. Let me help you out. I wouldn't give myself a 10. 10 is like Jesus. All he did with his life is he never consumed one day of his life. And that's not me. It's not you. So you're not Jesus. In fact, if you think you're Jesus, just tap a few people around you and say, am I Jesus? And they'll help you out, okay? Especially if you're a spouse. Now, you're not a 10, but you're also, you're also not a 0. The fact that you're in church today tells me you're either searching for meaning, like you're exploring Jesus, or you truly want to make a difference with your life. So you're not a 10 or a 0, but where would you be? Just pick a number anywhere between 0 and 10. Like, where would you be between the consumer to contributor scale? All right, just pick a number. Wherever you're at, I've been praying for God to spur you on today to get you where he wants you to be. And for us to do that, what we're gonna do is what we do every week at CCV. We're gonna turn to God's word to guide us to where he wants us to be, amen? If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. What Peter is doing, Peter was one of the disciples. If you remember, Peter's one of the disciples. He wrote this book, 1 Peter. He's writing to the church, that is us, and he wants to make something really, really clear to us. Watch how clear he is. 1 Peter chapter 10, starting in verse 10, he says, God has given each of you a gift. Everybody say, I have a gift. You have a gift. And guess where it came from? It came from God, not you. So God, if you're a follower of Jesus, has given every single one of us gifts. Now, he hasn't just given you gifts. He says next, God just hasn't given you gifts. He says he's given you gifts from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And I love this. I taught you over the summer from 1 Corinthians that there are so many spiritual gifts in the church. But what we have to understand is there's a variety. So don't ever look at someone else and say, I wish I had their gifts. I wish I could sing. I wish I could preach. I wish I could teach. I wish I could do this or that. No. God's given you gifts, your gifts. Discover yours and then put them to use. So what are we supposed to do with those gifts? Well, Peter goes on to say this. Use them to serve yourself. Just be a consumer. Woo! How many of you know I just made that up? That's not how the verse ends. That's why you got to have your Bibles open and like follow along with me. You know what I mean? You're like, that's not in the Bible. If it is, I kind of like the Bible. Cool. It gets to be all about me. You know what I mean? What does Peter actually say? You have gifts from a variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve who? One another. Not me. Peter's reminding us, God designed you not to be a consumer, but to be a contributor with your gifts in the church. Now, here's the struggle. I'm telling you, almost everything in our world today disciples us to be a consumer. I mean, just think about your life. You know, you're going about your life, you walk into a store. When you walk in a store, you're there to consume. When you go to a restaurant, like say you go to Chick-fil-A, God's chicken. You know what I mean? It's like straight from heaven, God's chicken, you know? It's so good. When you walk into Chick-fil-A, what do they say to you? They're serving you, it's my pleasure. And you're like, give me some more of that, baby. Give me some more of that chicken. You know, it's my pleasure to serve you. When you turn on Netflix or, you know, Amazon Prime, whatever you watch, you know, when you stream shows at night, you log in thinking, there better be something good for me to consume tonight. And you're searching for shows. This even seeps into our relationships, right? Our relationships are our marriage. We can say things like, they need to serve me. They need to be about, they need to meet my needs. I mean, I'll meet theirs every once in a while, but only because they can meet mine even more. I think it breaks the heart of God that the world that disciples us to be a consumer, that same mindset seeps into the church. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm shopping for a good church. I'm church shopping. What's the word shopping mean? It's a consumer mindset. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I need a church that's gonna feed who? Me. Now I'm poking a little bit because both of those things, it's like if you've ever said those, listen, one, you should find a good church. If you're here visiting CCV and looking for a good church, listen, I think you should look for a good church, but you gotta find one and dive in. And if you want a church that feeds you the word of God, that's a good thing. You want a church that is in God's word every day and all the time. And if they're not, go find a different church. But let me put it this way. At what point in the church do you hit a point where you say, ooh, wait a second. If all I do is eat, I'll just be overweight. If all I do is feed my belly, I end up in a place I don't want to be and God doesn't want me to be. So I'm going to challenge all of us today. I think God wants to move some of us from consumer to how he designed us to be, to be a contributor. And to do that, I want to tell you that there is probably one of three positions you find yourself or places you find yourself in today. I'm going to give you all three of them up front, and then I want to look at God's word to look at each of these. And here's where you might find yourself today. One of three places. One, you might find yourself in the box seats. You might find yourself in the bench, or you may find yourself holding a towel. In the arena of your faith, you're either in the box seats, you're on the bench, or you're holding a towel. You might be, what does that even mean? Stick with me. Let's look at number one. Maybe you're in the box seats today. What does that look like? If you're in the box seats, that's the mentality that the church exists to serve numero uno. Me. Now, what scares me about this mentality, and I've been there, is this, is that when you look at the New Testament, I think it becomes clear that you can spend your whole life with Jesus and still think it's all about you. Did you know the disciples spent almost every single day from Jesus' start of his ministry to when he died and rose again? The disciples were with him almost every single day. They were with Jesus. And all they saw Jesus do was serve other people. He served children. He served the outcasts. He served the down and out, the poor. He served the up and out, the rich. Jesus was only serving. So in Mark chapter 10, if you turn there, that Jesus is now at the end of his life. He's getting ready to die. And so he's getting ready to die. So the disciples come to Jesus. Remember, they've spent every day with him during his ministry years. And they come to Jesus, and all he's done is serve. So what are they going to ask for themselves? This is scary. Watch this. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 35. Teacher, they said, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. And they said, teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. You've been serving everybody else. It's time we get some. And Jesus is like, well, I do serve everybody. So he's like, guys, what is your request? He asked. Watch what they said. They replied, when you sit in your glorious throne, you're going to be a really important person sometime. We know you're going to be super important. We want to sit in the places of honor next to you. One on your right, the other on the left. In other words, Jesus, we want the box seats. We want to sit in the very best seats in your kingdom so people can serve us. Now let me ask anybody here, has anybody here ever had the privilege of sitting in like the box seats at like a Cardinals game, a Suns game, or like cons? Don't raise your hand. People are gonna ask you for tickets, so don't raise your hand, okay? But I don't know if any of you have ever had the privilege of sitting in like the very best seats at a venue, sporting concert or something. Jamie and I have had a few opportunities. We've had these gracious friends that have invited us to sit in some amazing seats. In fact, we have a cousin in Kansas City who's very wealthy. He owns the best box seats for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals. Do not email me. I'm not getting you tickets, okay? But he's invited us a few times to sit with him in his box seats, okay? And I just want to tell you something. The box seats are sweet. I mean, like, you sit in these seats, they ruin you. I mean, it's like everything about this is like, it's all about you. They send like a concierge that's just there to serve you for the whole entire game. Whatever you want, they will bring you anything. There's food, drinks. They bring you unlimited popcorn. They're like, this is living, baby, right here. Sometimes this is actually what we want out of church. I mean, think about it. Sometimes we come to church and we're like, I want to sit and like consume. I mean, maybe you drive into the parking lot, right? And think about what CCB offers is amazing. You drive in the parking lot, there's someone there helping you find a parking spot. And they're smiling, they're unbelievable, they're friendly, which matters. Then you get in the parking spot and you walk into the kids' building that is at, you know, those awesome kids' buildings, and someone else funded those, which is cool, you know. And then like you walk in and there are kids' volunteers everywhere to serve your kids, and you're like, take these little suckers, which is awesome. We want to serve your kids. That matters, and those volunteers are awesome and epic. So you drop off your kids, and then you walk into the auditorium. You walk into one of our coffee shops, which are so cool. Isn't it cool we offer coffee? And you order your favorite drink. You got your triple shot, double pump, vanilla soy, chai latte, cinnamon crunch, sprinkles on top latte. I know what you order, sir. I've seen you order that, okay? It's like you get your coffee, and you know what? You want it hot? We serve it piping hot at CCV. You want it cold? It's ice cold. We don't do lukewarm at this church, you know what I mean? So we don't do that, right? So you get your coffee, you walk in the auditorium, the AC's cranking, it feels good. We got pretty comfy seats, right? You sit down, you're like, it's pretty great. You know, music kicks in, you're like, praise you, Lord, praise you. That's right, good. Campus pastor gets on, gives an epic communion. Do we not have the best campus pastors in the world? I want to give it up for, man, I love our, they're awesome, you know? And then, you know, the preacher walks on stage to preach, right? And, you know, it's me or someone else, and you're like, see how he does this week. I mean, every once in a while, he's funny. He better be funny today. I'm out of here, you know? And decent points. I mean, I give him like a B minus, you know, and then, you know, sip away and... And then you get up and leave. And before you know it, you maybe never thought about it this way before. I mean, it hasn't even been conscious, like it's not like a purposeful thing, but you may be sitting here today going like, I've come to consume. Now listen to me. If you are not a follower of Jesus here today, or maybe you've been hurt by a church, you're still healing from some pain, I want to look you in the eyes, I want to say, you come to CCV and you consume as long as it takes. We are here to serve you. This church is here to serve you. Don't you dare feel guilty about that. But if you're a follower of Jesus here today, and this is your home, I just wonder at what point God gets a hold of your heart to say, I'm not designed to consume, I'm designed to contribute. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have to learn in the body of Christ that Jesus says, man, I didn't design you to consume, I designed you to contribute. Now, the disciples, they wanted to consume. They wanted the box seats. So you know what Jesus does next when they ask for the box seats? Jesus, literally, like a good coach, he calls a timeout on the field. He gathers all the disciples together, because it wasn't just James and John who wanted the box seats. All of them wanted the box seats. So he gathers all the disciples, like a timeout and good coach on the field, gets them all together. And remember verse 37, they said, we want the good seats. What Jesus says next is four words every single follower of Jesus should have etched in your mind. You should have these words memorized. I want the box seats. I want people to serve me. Jesus says this, not so with you. You know, all the important people, the disciples, Jesus says, you know, all the important people around you, disciples, you know, everybody serves them. The disciples are like, that's what we want. Not so with you. I designed you to be different. And then he says this, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. What is Jesus communicating? Christians don't sit and consume. We get on the field and serve. That's how we change the world. So man, maybe God wants to tell you today, it's time to move. I didn't design you for the box seats. Now, for some of you, that's not your issue, all right? You actually don't even want to, you don't want to be like a consumer. You want your life to matter. You want to get out and make a difference. But you know what your problem is? You're not in the box seats. You're what I call, you're on the bench. Now, what does it mean to be on the bench? To be on the bench is this mentality. Well, I'm not qualified or worthy enough to serve. Or I just am so busy, I don't have time to serve God. That's what it looks like to be on the bench. Now, let me give you another visual. How many of you who played athletics or sports have ever had a time where coach benched you? Just raise your hand. Anybody got benched by coach? I have a theory. I think every athlete has a sob story of being benched. And we tell the sob stories. I have mine. Jamie could repeat my sob story. My senior year in baseball, getting benched unfairly because our team was terrible and coach wanted to play a freshman. That's my sob story, okay? But sometimes you get benched and you know you deserved it. Like my sophomore year, I was playing basketball and I really wanted to start bad. And when coach put me in the game early in the season, it was like as a point guard, I had turnover after, it was like turnover city. And it got so bad, coach benched me. And you know what? I got used to the bench. Because I actually thought, I maybe am not good enough to play. I blamed it on having, I don't have like really large hands. I thought if I had large hands, I'd be an NBA player. You know what I mean? I'm that good. But I was on the bench and I thought maybe I just deserved it. I'm not worthy or qualified. Or maybe coach just wants one guy that's not sweaty at the end of the game so the cheerleaders can come and hug that one non-sweaty guy. You know, I don't know, but I was on the bench. And if you feel like you're on the bench in your faith because you don't feel qualified and, or worthy in some way, I want to say something to you. There is no bench in the body of Christ. There's no bench. There's only a call to get off the bench on the field and begin serving in your faith, using your gifts. God doesn't have a bench in the body of Christ. In fact, and I know you have your excuses. I get it. You're like, well, I'm pretty new. I don't know much about the Bible. I don't even know a whole lot. Like, what would I even do? You understand how many opportunities there are for you to use your gifts around here? And there are so many people in Scripture that had their excuses. That maybe the most famous would be Moses. God used Moses about as much as anybody out there. And when God called Moses, he asked to sit on the bench. Did you know that? For one, he felt unqualified. He killed a guy earlier in his life. Pretty bad mistake. Have you killed anybody? Some of you maybe have. But I'm saying like Moses killed somebody. He's like, I'm out. And then when God comes, he throws a tantrum. Go read Exodus 3 and 4. Moses throws a tantrum. I'm not qualified. And God just gets up in his business. I mean, it's bad. Can I summarize what God tells Moses that he would tell someone here? He says this, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he's called. And guess what? You're like, well, I'm not called. Yes, you are. Every follower of Jesus has been given gifts, which means you are called to use those gifts to serve others. Everybody's called. Let me say it a little bit differently. God works through your availability far more than your ability. God is just waiting for people to say, I'm available. I may not feel qualified, but I'm available. And God will use anybody that says that. Now, you may not be qualified for every single area, but there's some area for almost everybody. And man, if you say like, seriously, Ashley, you don't know my life, it's pretty jacked up. I'd say, welcome to the club. All of us are. I mean, think about Scripture. Noah struggled with alcohol. Abraham lied about his wife. Jacob cheated on his brother. He cheated his brother. Moses had anger issues. He was insecure. David was an adulterer. Solomon was greedy. Thomas was a doubter. Peter denied Jesus. Paul murdered Christians. Elijah struggled with his mental health and got so depressed he was suicidal. You're like, well, that disqualifies you. No, God used Elijah in amazing ways. Let me just pause here for a second. We are in a mental health crisis in our country. And so many of us are struggling with our mental health. And we think, well, that just, listen, do you know what almost all the research says is one of the number one ways to begin to overcome your mental health challenges? Don't take my word for it. Let me read you a famous psychotherapist, Jordan Peterson. He said this, if a person is depressed, discouraged, or addicted, the quickest solution to most mental health issues is to make yourself useful to another person. What's he saying? To start serving. Why? Because until you start serving others, your only focus is on you. And you are not fulfilling the purpose Jesus has given you, which is always going to make you struggle mentally. So you got to get beyond your inadequacy, get beyond whatever unworthiness you feel, and get in the game and start serving. The secret of serving, I would say, is this. You are always more filled up than you pour out. I call that the secret of serving. And until you start serving, you will never get it. When we pour out, we think, well, I'm going to be drained more. No, you are filled back up as you fulfill your purpose in this world. So what do all of us have to know today? There's three positions you may find yourself in. Number one, if you're in the box seats just consuming, there are no box seats. God designed you to start contributing. And when it comes to the bench, there's no bench in the body of Christ. You gotta get out and use your gifts. So what's the only appropriate response? Number three, it's holding a towel. You're like, what does that even mean? Well, think about it this way. When you walk into like a really, really nice restaurant, this is actually one of the universal signs of I am here to serve you. Holding a towel on your arm. This should be the picture of every follower of Jesus, because Jesus gave us this picture. Remember when all the disciples were arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Well, now Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves, not the one who wants a box seat. And then Jesus needs to show them what that means instead of just telling them. So it's probably just a few days later after this happened with the disciples. Jesus is now on his last day on earth, and he takes his disciples up to an upper room to have a last dinner or supper with them. It's the Last Supper. And you can imagine, you can just feel the tension in the room as all the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest still. Peter's like, well, I'm the greatest. I walked on water. His brother Andrew's like, you sunk, bro, too, you know? And Matthew, the tax collector's like, I've amassed more wealth than all you combined. Thomas is like, doubt it. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. They're just arguing over who's the greatest. And you can feel the tension. And into this tension, Jesus does something that makes everybody gasp. In the midst of them arguing about who's the greatest, Jesus walks in the room. He grabs a towel. He kneels down. He dips that towel in water. And he literally starts washing the disciples' feet. Now listen, you have to understand the context. In ancient Roman cities, which Jerusalem was controlled by Rome at the time, they were dirtier than you could ever imagine. We have sewer systems. We put human excrement down the toilet. They poured it in the streets. There was trash everywhere. So when you walked around with sandals on, you had human excrement and dirt all over you. So when you walked in for a dinner, your feet had to be washed, but it was so nasty, only the lowest of low servants would ever wash someone's feet. Yeah. And the King of Kings, it's like emotional for me to think about. Jesus, who with his own hands formed the stars in the universe, now washes feet off people's feet. Like, can you picture it? He walks up to James and John, who were the ringleaders, saying, we want to be the greatest. We want people to serve us. And Jesus starts washing their feet. And I can just see him looking up saying, this is what it looks like to be great in my kingdom. Have a towel. He goes to Peter, who, by the way, Peter doesn't feel unqualified right now, but within 24 hours, he will deny Jesus three times and he will completely feel disqualified from ministry. He walks away. And I think Jesus was showing Peter in that moment, Peter, no matter what you've done, no matter the mess of your sin, I can wash it all away and I still have a call on your life. Then Jesus moves, don't miss this, to Judas. He did not skip washing Judas's feet. Do you understand that? The one who would betray him to the cross, he still washed his feet too. And if that's not the definition of serving, I don't know what is. So Jesus shows them what it looks like to be great, to change the world. Then he gets up off his knees. And you know what he does next? Go read John chapter 13. He looks at his disciples and he says this, do you realize what I've done for you? Could you feel the piercing, that must have been going on in their hearts. It's maybe what some of you feel today, where you're like, doggone it. Man, when I come to church, I've just wanted to consume. Or I've been sitting here for a long time thinking God can't use someone like me. And Jesus is such a visual teacher. It's like Jesus is like, it's so simple. Go pick up a towel. Find a place in the body of Christ, the church, where you can begin serving others with your gift. That's how you go change the world, when all of us are holding a towel. Jesus taught us this. Jesus measures greatness not by seats or titles, but by boldly picking up a towel to go serve. That's greatness. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, I would serve somewhere, but man, it needs to be somewhere important because I'm a pretty important person. And I get that. You know, maybe God opens up something that could be really significant for you to serve in some way. But what if you're not serving anywhere, why not start where Jesus told us to start? Just get on your knees. Find a place to serve. Now listen, what God is doing at CCV right now is nothing short of miraculous. We're in one of the greatest awakenings, not just in our church, but in our country, that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think we may be on the brink of a revival in our country. At CCV, just to give you context, last weekend, we had, across our 18 campuses, over 59,000 people physically on our campuses. That's a move of God. Now, listen, before you clap too much, let me tell you the number you should erupt at. To date, just this year, we have seen over 7,000 people give their life to Jesus and be baptized. Now, that's a number that should fire us up. Hey, how is God moving so big in our midst? How's he doing it? I want to tell you how he's doing it. First of all, it's his spirit. It's not me or anybody else. God's spirit's moving, but he's moving through an army of people that have a towel serving. Without our volunteers and people serving at CCV, do you understand this church? We are not seeing what God's doing. We have almost 15,000 people across our campuses serving, and that's an amazing number. But listen, with how God's moving, 7,000 people giving their life to Jesus, 59,000 people on our campuses. Do you understand if more of us don't start using our gifts, we could slow down the move of God because we sat in the box seats or on a bench? Do you understand what hangs in the balance of you deciding to pick up a towel? You'd be like, where could I serve? You understand? We have people serving in so many areas in our church. We have people serving in the parking lot, and that matters. A smiling face matters. We have people in our cafe who hand you a cup of coffee. That matters. We have people in our kids and student ministry impacting the next generation where the revival is actually beginning to start. We have ushers and greeters and star sports volunteers and security and special needs. We have prayer teams, small group coaches that are discipling people in our church. We have serving during the week where people coming into campuses, serving in so many different areas. We have missions teams. I could go on and on and on. All that I'm saying is that for God to keep moving in our church, we need more people picking up a towel. And so I'm just going to challenge every person here today. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in our church, you call this church home, that you would just decide today, if you're not serving, I will find a place to serve. We'll help you. I'm going to pray in a minute, and our campus pastors are going to give you some opportunities on how you can get involved in serving today. But listen, listen to me. God didn't design you for the box seats. He has never put you on a bench. He just wants you to pick up a towel and serve. Are you in? You want to get in the arena? Let me pray that you do. Father, I pray for every person here today that feels your Holy Spirit nudging on their hearts. God, help them to realize that's not my words. That is your word spoken to them and your Spirit moving in their hearts. So I pray for the young person here today that has so much to offer. Help them get in the game. I pray for every person that knows they have things that they want to contribute. God, get them in the game. Every age, Father, just help us to realize we've got to get in the game, in the arena, in our faith. Because the greatest is the one who serves. Thanks for giving us the example, Jesus. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.